I'm just going to pray, ask for the Lord's help as we look at these things together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of year. Thank you that we can spend time with friends and family. But Lord, we thank you for this time where we can remember Jesus coming to die. He was born, he grew, he lived, he died, and he rose again. And Lord, we thank you for this time where we can reflect, we can take a break, and we can remember all that he's done. So we pray for your help this morning, Lord. We pray that you teach us from your word and you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you all got your Christmas shopping done?
Yes.
Yep.
Good. I think some shops are still open, but maybe till like 2 or 3, so you probably won't make it if you're stuck. How many tried to beat the queues and did a bit of online shopping? Did you? Anyone? Online? Okay, just a few maybe. Well, if you did order online, did all the items arrive?
No.
Did they all arrive on time? Well, we did some shopping with Amazon. We were told it would all arrive on Thursday. That's great, plenty of time. Thursday came, no parcels. One of the items hadn't even been dispatched yet. Friday came, most of the items arrived, so that was good. But one didn't, an important one. Then it seemed it would arrive after Christmas. They give you these statuses online. It'll probably not arrive till after Christmas. Okay, thanks, Amazon. But then it arrived. Saturday came and it arrived yesterday. Wasn't that great? Just in time, that one arrived as well. The word fulfilled has a very different connotation in the online world. I work for Amazon and I order from Amazon, and this idea of fulfillment means that the orders have been shipped and they're on their way to you. It's all about the date that they're going to arrive. You've been given a promise of delivery, and then hopefully the order is fulfilled just as was promised. It's all about the delivery date. When's it going to arrive? Why is it late? But it's all about the arrival. Well, what about fulfillment in the ancient world? The fulfillment that we're going to think about today is all about arrival, all about something that's going to arrive, but rather than a specific date, rather than your estimated delivery date, the arrival is a specific place. Let's read our passage. So we're in Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 12. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So we'll finish the reading there. And this passage really is, we're going to be focusing mostly on those words from verses 5 and 6. This promise that the ruler, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. But let's go right back to the beginning. Martin read a passage earlier in the service from the book of Micah, chapter 5. Micah was writing around the same time as Isaiah, around the 8th century BC, before Christ. The nation of Israel had been split into two parts. There was the northern kingdom, there was the southern kingdom. Both kingdoms were prospering economically, they were doing well, they were growing, but they were beginning to rot spiritually. Things were going wrong internally. Foreign religion was seeping in, social injustice was on the rise. Those things were becoming normal. And the passage back in Micah chapter 5 starts with a bit of a message of doom. It talks about this ruler who's going to be struck on the cheek. The ruler of Israel is going to be struck. A siege was coming, and this striking of the ruler was such an insult that this ruler would be struck like this, representing the insult that would be on him. Micah was declaring God's judgment on the people for their rebellion against God. But Micah also speaks a message of hope. That one day there will be a great ruler over Israel. For now, your ruler will be defeated. He'll be struck. He'll be embarrassed. But one day there's going to be a great ruler over Israel. A ruler who would shepherd God's people. There'd be security. There'd be peace. And his greatness wouldn't just extend to the borders of Israel, but it would go to the ends of the earth. But why would the people need a leader or a great ruler like this? Well, they needed someone that they could follow. The people of Israel, they needed protection. The people needed guidance. They needed safety from war. They needed to be cared for. They needed peace. Some leaders that had come before had provided that. Think of someone like King David. There had been great peace in the land, but even someone like David didn't last. He was dead at this stage. King after king, new ruler after new ruler, some were good, some were bad, but there was no great ruler who could last forever. The people needed a ruler and a shepherd who would bring everlasting peace, security, and joy. Well, what would have happened if my orders weren't fulfilled? No presents. Sorry, family. But it's okay, because they arrived. They were fulfilled. But what if this ruler, what if this promised ruler didn't come? If he wasn't fulfilled, if this promise wasn't fulfilled, well, that means there wouldn't be lasting peace. There wouldn't be security. There wouldn't be protection. There wouldn't be joy. For any sort of sustained time, it might come in small bursts and waves, but there's nothing complete, nothing whole. And just like people in Micah's day, we need a ruler like this, one who is kind and just and strong and caring. We flock to good leaders around us, don't we? Maybe leaders in our groups of friends, leaders at work, leaders in politics. When there's a good leader, we love that they get elected, that they do something good in the country. We flock to good leaders. But even the best that we may know aren't perfect. And even as good as they might be, they don't last. We need a ruler and a shepherd that we can flock to lead us, to guide us, to care for us, and to protect us. Well, where did Micah say he was going to come from? Where was this ruler going to come? Well, he was going to come from Bethlehem. There's this funny word after Bethlehem in Micah, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Basically, the Ephrathah is just a way of pointing, as this was the Bethlehem, as there was at least one other Bethlehem, but it was this Bethlehem where David was born. It'll be in Bethlehem where David is from, in Judea. That's what's picked up in this passage in Matthew. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. It was this Bethlehem, the town of David, that this ruler, this shepherd, was going to come from. And this message that was spoken by Micah, it became part of this messianic hope for the people. The hope that one day a great king would rise, become a ruler to the people, who'd bring this peace and this security, not to just to Israel, but to the whole world. The short passage is quite explicit about where the ruler would come from. It's the land of Judah, the line of David, the small, obscure town of Bethlehem. small little town, least among the clans of Judah. We have developed a Christmas tradition in our house where we get our Christmas tree. It started because we used to live near the place, but we've continued it because we really like the place that we go to. They even give us hot punch. But it's in an obscure little town called Skahinarinky. Nothing much happens in Skahinarinky. It's a small little place, not much to it. It has a school and it has a Christmas tree farm. It's an obscure little place, not much significance, but often a place gets put on the map because a person or people put it there. The people that come from there or the lineage that's from there, that often makes a town a little bit more famous. I discovered when I was looking how to check the spelling of Skahinarinky, I found out that former Taoiseach Garrett Fitzgerald claims heritage from Skahinarinky. I think it was his grandfather originally came from that town and later emigrated. But Bethlehem was a little bit like this. It was an obscure little town. It was a bit out of the way, not important. Jerusalem was the important place. Bethlehem was the obscure little town. But it was put on the map because King David was born there. And it was going to be this place, this town, that the ruler would come from. It's incredible that God uses small, insignificant, obscure things to achieve his purposes. Small and weak. Small like Bethlehem. Weak like death, like the cross. Insignificant like you and me, to fulfill his plans for the world. He brings us into his story and he gives us significance. Just like he gave great significance to Bethlehem, even though it was just a small little obscure town, he gives us significance as we come into his story. What was this ruler going to do? There's this message in Samuel when David was being anointed king. The Lord said of David, "You shall shepherd my people Israel, and you shall become their ruler." That's what the Lord said of King David. But this prophecy is made after David. David's gone. So it's going to be someone greater than David who is going to come and shepherd God's people, to care for them, to guide them, and protect them. And the people, they were longing for this. They were waiting that someone would put an end to all war and injustice and false religion. When was he going to come? Would he come? Would it be fulfilled? The stage was set, but Micah never saw this fulfillment. Neither did the kings and the prophets that came after him. But that expectation and that hope was there. Well, let's fast forward 750 years. Can you imagine the scene? I thought it was funny the way Herod reacted here when I was thinking about it. Imagine Herod in his palace. One of his servants comes in. "Sir, the Magi have arrived." "The who?" "The Magi. They say they're wise men from the east. They've come to worship the King of the Jews." "Oh, well, you should have said, send them in." "No, sir, they're asking where he is." Herod wasn't too happy, was he, when he heard this message, that they were coming asking where was the one born King of the Jews. Herod was a fraud. Herod was someone who was only in power because he was scratching Roman backs to keep his place. He was keeping them happy to keep his power. He was a usurper to the throne. He wasn't the rightful king of Israel. He wasn't the true king of the Jews. And when these wise men from the east, when they came, he was really disturbed. Perhaps Matthew's even hinting, Matthew who wrote the gospel, maybe he's hinting of what's to come in Jesus' life. Immediate hostility from the Jewish people, from the leaders, from the king. But also Gentile inclusion, the first people to come and to worship the King Jesus. They're not Jews. They're these Gentiles, these foreign wise men from the east. So what does Herod do? He's disturbed. So he calls together the chief priests, teachers of the law, to find out where this Messiah was to be born. And these are the verses that are quoted from Micah chapter 5. "It's Bethlehem in the land of Judah, the town where David was born, that's where the Messiah was going to come from. That's where this great ruler and shepherd of the people was going to come from. This prophecy that had been made hundreds of years earlier. And now these wise men come and they claim that they'd seen his star risen. They've come to worship him. He's been born. He's finally here. Surely not. We'd have seen it. Surely there'd have been an announcement or an email to say your order's on its way. But no, in obscure little Bethlehem, the Messiah had been born. And now Herod starts acting really suspiciously. He has a secret meeting with the Magi to find out exactly when the star had appeared. When was this ruler born? And he puts up this pretense, I want to go and worship him as well. Which we'll see later in the story that that's not the case at all. So they went on their way to Bethlehem, where the long-awaited ruler would come from. Look at verses 9 down to 11. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Now, I can't tell you exactly what's going on with the rising of the star and the reappearing of it, the stopping overhead. But what it does do is it leads the way to the child. They find the ruler, the great promised king, the shepherd, who'll be great over all the earth. But he's just a child, born into a lowly family in an insignificant town among all the clans of Judah. That's the incredible thing about Christmas. Who would write something like this? That the great ruler, king would come, the one prophesied hundreds of years ago, and in fact it would be God himself would be coming, that he would arrive as a baby in an obscure little town into poverty. It's just incredible what God has done. If Jesus came now, we might imagine, well, he'd have all the treatment and care that he needs. He'd go to a nice hospital and he'd be looked after and cared for. But in fact, it's more like he'd be born on the street, along with those who are homeless, who don't have anywhere to go, who don't have any homes. But God has come using the small, insignificant things of this world to work out his purposes. A God who would stoop so low as Bethlehem, as low as a baby, as low as the cross, because he loves us so much, he came to be our great ruler and shepherd. Just like my orders finally came, they've arrived. The great ruler has finally come. He has arrived. These words of Micah have been fulfilled. The promise that was made has been seen to be true. It's come to pass. And it was in Jesus, the great ruler and shepherd that the people of Israel, that they needed so desperately, finally came. And the ruler that we need so desperately has come. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was the great king who was going to bring this peace, this security to the whole world. And the peace, just like the birth, just like the arrival of Jesus, just like his coming, his bringing peace is unexpected. Jesus didn't become a great politician and a mediator between the Romans and the Jews, helping to sign peace treaties and trade deals. He didn't rise up as a great military leader in rebellion against the Romans and bring peace through force. He didn't take part in a protest, a mass gathering of the people to push the Romans out in a peaceful way, to lead to the final independence of Israel. That's not how he brought peace. The way of his peace was death. It sounds crazy that death was needed. But it's because our greatest danger is not from the enemies outside our borders, not from those nations warring around us, not from families fighting and feuding amongst themselves. The greatest danger to our peace is the God that Micah spoke about, the God who deals with evil and rebellion and sin, and his judgment comes. It's the God who loves us, who brings judgment against all evil. And God was demonstrating his judgment against sin and his grace and love towards us when Jesus died on the cross. And we know that it's all true, because this prophecy, the fulfillment, the peace, all because Jesus didn't stay dead, he rose again. So this time of year, around Christmas, we can be filled with great joy because this great ruler has finally come. He came all those years ago. Or maybe rather than joy, maybe we're filled with terror because this great ruler has come and he has made a promise to deal with evil and sin, and we're not so sure where we stand. Or maybe we're filled with indifference. So what that Jesus was born? Prophecies like this help us to take Jesus seriously. Prophecies where words are spoken and those words come true, and it's not just this one, it happened over and over and over again. Reminders again and again that we need to take Jesus seriously. The great ruler and shepherd has come, and he's come for his people, anyone who will turn to him and follow him as their king. He's the shepherd and king and ruler that we need, that we desperately need. And that's what we remember at Christmas, that he's come, that the promise was fulfilled, that he finally came to give us life. It's all come true. So this Christmas, let's worship him as the Magi did. As they came, they sought him out, and they worshipped as the king. Let's not reject him like Herod did, scheming and plotting, trying to keep hold of his own power. Let's worship him as the ruler and shepherd who has come to bring peace and comfort and security and life. That's what he's come to do. So you don't need to worry. My Amazon order has been fulfilled. But far more importantly, these words of Micah have been fulfilled. We can rejoice. Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. The great ruler and king has come. He's been born, the great shepherd of his people. And his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time of year where we can remember this great ruler and king. The one who the people of Israel looked forward to so much, with so much hope and expectation and longing, that would he just come and help us, rescue us. And Lord, we give you so much thanks that now he's finally come. The ruler has arrived. The promise has been fulfilled. And Lord, we give you thanks. Help us to be people who are filled with joy at the wonder of this story, the wonder of this truth of what Jesus has done, that he came as a tiny little baby. And he did that out of love to bring peace, peace through his death, so that we can have life forever. Lord, we just thank you so much for this wonderful message. Lord, give us confidence in the fulfillment of your word. Give us confidence in the Bible and how it's true. And give us great hope for when that one great ruler will return, when he'll come again. And Lord, we look forward to that day. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as we close our time together the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. There's a line that says, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. It was in this town, the little town of Bethlehem, that all the hopes, all the fears of Israel were dispelled when Jesus the Savior arrived. Let's stand as we sing this last song together.